One of the things I've found is that as a pastor, I can get kind of stale with the way that I'm using AI. So in this conversation, we're going to unpack several non-obvious AI prompts that I'm using at my church, and maybe you should use at yours to save hours every week. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about AI prompts that pastors should be using. These are actual ones that I think are a little bit more non-obvious. We have been talking about AI here at Reach Right for a couple of years at this point now. And I look back at some of our older AI content, and it was kind of stuff that seems obvious now to, you know, think about AI for kind of idea generation and some of that stuff. So we wanted to do some non-obvious AI opportunities for pastors and church leaders. You'll see this as a trend here on the Reach Right podcast, and a lot of our content going forward is that AI is going to be a recurring theme over and over again now, because I have become convinced that it is going to totally change everything about our entire lives and the world, and yes, even the church. Our job is to make sure it changes the right things about the church and not the wrong things. So we're going to be talking about some of those things as we go, but this will be kind of a common theme going forward. I don't know. Do you agree with that assessment, Ian? Is AI coming for us?
Coming for us? Yeah, that's what a lot of people feel. I don't think it's coming for us, but most certainly has changed things already, but will change things immensely. I mean, how, to what extent? I'm not sure I know about that.
I've said it this way. So this is my bold statement, and you can quote me on this recording in 2025. Fire, the wheel, the printing press, AI. Those are kind of like, I think will go down as like the Mount Rushmore of human inventions that have taken place over time.
Even over the internet.
It's a precursor, but I think the amount of change we're going to see because of AI is going to be even greater than the amount of change we saw from the internet or social media or any of those things. It's a prediction. We don't know for sure what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a radical change. And so one of our goals at Reach Right is to help the church navigate this enormous change that's coming, I think, in the form of AI. So this will be a simple episode. We're going to dig into some of the ways we're using it right now. Lots more to come on this channel, but why don't we just dig into some prompts, Ian, things we're actually using here.
Yeah, let's do it. And I like these. They should be pretty interesting to a lot of our listeners, hopefully. So the first one would be a sermon feedback generator. So basically, this is where you would enter in as a pastor. Here's my sermon outline for John 14:6. Act as a curious but skeptical non-Christian, which is a cool way to put it, and tell me what part might be confusing, offensive, hard to accept. And then suggest three clarifying points or illustrations I could do to address those concerns.
Yeah, there you go. Good. All right. So I've been using this one personally. I've been using it in two ways. I've been using this a prompt similar to this. One is exactly like this, where I will put in my outline. And I am not a manuscript preacher. I have a very loose outline. And I do use AI as a major tool in my sermon prep process. I think we made a lot of bold statements here on this channel when we first started to experiment with AI. We had this thought, well, we don't want people just to say, write a sermon for me in AI and have it produce sermons. And I still stand by that. You shouldn't do that. And it would make for a bad sermon still that isn't spirit inspired and all the stuff that it needs to be. But I got to tell you, so I preached last week at my church I probably did somewhere between 15 and 20 different queries or prompts within ChatGPT. One of them was close to this one. I was preaching on what was called the scariest verse in the Bible is what I called it, which is when Jesus says, depart from me because I never even knew you, and kind of breaking that down for people. But that was a very important one, to use something like this to get the perspective of someone that maybe doesn't know Jesus. And I think a lot of times in our preaching, we can miss that. We're kind of used to getting into the word, or we're used to preaching to people that are already believers.
Yeah.
And getting an outside perspective like this can be really helpful. And the way I'll put it is things like ChatGPT or Claude or whatever AI you're using, any AI chatbot that's out there, they are not to be your thought leaders, but you should think of them as your thought partners. Think of it as a really gifted, like, seminary assistant that, you know, is they have their doctorate degree and they're smart at everything, but they can give you feedback. Like in this case, this prompt sets us up as the thought leader. I'm asking it for feedback, and then I can do what I will with this feedback. What I really love to do, a similar prompt to this, is after I preach my sermon, I go onto YouTube, I download the transcript, I put it in, and I actually tell it to give me feedback about where was I good, where was I bad, and what would a non-believer's perspective be on this sermon. I got some really good feedback. It told me in my last one, I put in my notes that I wanted, because it got into like topics on hell and that kind of stuff a little bit in my sermon. And the feedback it gave me was that you probably stepped a little bit over what you wanted to say when it came to hell when you were up there giving the message. So I thought, and I think that was actually valid. I felt good about what I actually wound up saying, but it was interesting feedback from a non-believer's perspective that I had it give me. So yeah, I use this one every time I preach, both before and after, I would say, and I think it's pretty cool. I encourage you to try it out.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I will add to that, Thomas, just that, I mean, if it can aid you and help, you know, give suggestions, you know, for how a non-believer would, receive your message. I mean,
yeah,
that's, I think, God using AI, and that might be a bold statement to some, but if it helps aid, obviously it's the Lord that saves people, obviously by his Spirit and revealing himself and turning someone to repentance. But at the same time, if it aids in that, I see it as a tool for the kingdom. So I think that's a great one to use for the generator. Well, the next one is, this one would be budget and giving health report, I guess, using it as a budget and giving health report. So it would be something in effect of saying, analyze this year's church budget versus actual spending, identify areas where we're overspending or underspending, and suggest how we could reallocate funds to better support church growth, outreach, or digital ministry. Also, based on these monthly giving trends, are we on track to meet our financial goals? Man, that's pretty interesting. That
Love
can
it.
Be very helpful.
So, I'm an executive pastor at my church, which means I deal in this stuff all the time at my church. I have to give these kinds of reports to our church council in our monthly meetings, and I'm using a prompt very similar to this one here that I use to, I will upload our church's financials, so our P&L statement, our giving track and where we've been seeing those things, and I have it do this kind of analysis, and it's giving us really insightful, actionable items. And so I have had conversations in the last month. For us, it's more about people not spending enough. Like, one of our goals at our church right now is that we want our people to be having coffee with as many people from within our church and the community as possible. Like, our staff, I really encourage them, like, that's money well spent in our eyes, is if we're taking people out to coffee and doing real ministry. And we said we were going to spend X amount on coffee, and we're like at 1/3 of how much we were supposed to spend is how much we've actually spent. And we uncovered that by loading in our P&L and saying, hey, it gave us this feedback, is you're not spending enough in this area. And so I could address that with my team. Guys, we need to have more coffee appointments and hang out with people and actually do ministry in that way. So it was eye-opening for us. So I use this prompt all the time. I think it's been super helpful.
That's a good one. So next one would be for a targeted outreach strategy. So based on this zip code's demographic data and the ministries we currently offer, what are three new outreach ideas that would best engage young families in our area? This is good. And then say include both digital and in-person suggestions that fit our size, about 150 members and budget.
Yeah. So
fit our size
this
and budget.
One, yeah. This one is not one you're going to run every week, right? This is not a, right. Like, you don't need to get this updated all the time. But this is like a kind of a, again, another one of those thought partner ideas of how you can be using it. One of the functions in ChatGPT, I think it's a premium part, so you have to pay the $20 a month to get this, is doing a deep research project. And this would be a really great idea for a deep research project for your church, because you want it to do some research on the demographics and what your area is like. And I think if it just does a cursory look at your zip code or something like that and doesn't do the deep research, it might not give you the most valuable insights. So what I would do with a prompt like this is take something like that. And one kind of hack that I use a lot, and this is kind of inception level, but I will take something like that and ask ChatGPT to write a new, more thorough prompt for me that I can then give it and do a deep research project with. So what this does is I've learned that I can never write prompts as good as ChatGPT or Claude or another service can write a prompt. Yeah. So what it'll do is it'll help to clarify what role the person is going to be taking. And you'll get like a really high level kind of consultant kind of feedback on this. And it'll just give you some ideas. Again, it is your thought partner. So don't take this and say, okay, we absolutely have to, we're going to do exactly what ChatGPT says. But it should pique your interest enough to say, you know what, that's a really good idea. And I've found as I run this, I get ideas I've never had before. Things I wouldn't have thought of. And it really is able to dig in and come to with some tailored advice for us. So good stuff.
I really, you know, the more I use it too, and the more we talk about it, and when I see these prompts, and now I'm using prompts more, and I'm using ChatGPT more now than I used to, and you've encouraged me and pushed me to do that, Thomas, so thanks. But I've noticed that based on these prompts, it really, not that people still won't Google certain things, and Google will still give you a breakdown, and Google's now has AI integrated with it, but I don't know. It just, it draws out more when you're able to use these prompts that, from what I have seen, just instead of just your typical Google search. So would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And especially again, if you use that deep research function where I did some for ReachWrite just today, actually. So most recent use cases, I did a SEO and AI optimization audit on our ReachWrite website today and got some really valuable things that I had never thought of that I got over to our dev team and we're having some conversations around it. Yeah. And so this same kind of stuff works really well when it comes to outreach ideas and that kind of stuff at your church.
Yeah, no, that's good. The other thing I was going to say too for this next one, I think this one's good because it is the virtual front door of your church still, but doing a website clarity review. So reading, putting in the prompt, read this text from our church's homepage of our website, act as a first-time visitor with no church background, point out anything that's confusing, overly religious, or unclear, suggest simple improvements that would make it more inviting and easier to navigate. I think this one's pretty cool since we, of course, deal with websites a lot too. So
totally. Yeah, I love this. I am, you know, so this is something we're wrestling with in, you know, we like, this is a service that we offer, right? Like Ian, you do website strategy reviews all day, every day, right? So that's, you help churches looking at their online presence. And the truth is that like, that may not be something that you will need to do anymore in the near future. I still think the actual human insights that you can give a church are better than what you'll get on ChatGPT today.
Yeah.
But I think a year from now, that may not be the case. So if you're watching this video in 2026, you may not need to do this. But if you are watching it now, click on the link below. I'll give you a link to get a free online strategy review for your church that
done by humans.
Ian and the team will fill out. Yeah. And it's a real human one.
But that's right.
We do some AI assistance with it now.
Oh, but absolutely.
It really is human eyes looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I love this. And again, the fear so many of us have in the church with ChatGPT is that it's, you know, controlled by these big tech companies and it's going to, you know, steer people away from the gospel and they don't have the same, and that's all true. But what if we use that as, you know, give us feedback as someone that doesn't have the gospel on their mind, someone who isn't a follower of Jesus, and they want that kind of feedback on your website. Because we say this all the time, your website is not for your members, your website is for visitors, and if you're like me and most churches, our main goal is to reach people that do not yet know Jesus. So that's a valuable question to ask, is what does an AI that doesn't know Jesus or a person that doesn't know Jesus, what do they see when they get onto our church's website? How can we work on the language? Now, that's not to say you take whatever ChatGPT says and, you know, make it some, you know, crazy, because I'm sure it would think that it's not inclusive enough, or it's, you know, it's too, Jesus is the only way. It says that kind of, it'll probably say that kind of feedback on your belief statement, but that's okay. You just take it as advice because it's not your thought leader. It's your thought partner. So love this prompt. I recommend using it.
Yeah. Next one's good too. YouTube data analysis. So, this would be something to the effect of, here are the last 10 YouTube sermon titles and thumbnails and view counts. Analyze the trends in what's performing well and poorly. What kinds of titles or topics seem to connect with our audience? Suggest three new video ideas that are likely to get more engagement.
Yeah. So this is what I use all the time. One thing I need to say is that I don't think that this prompt, at least, it's not designed to help to have you change what you're preaching on Sunday, because we shouldn't necessarily preach things because they'll get more clicks, right? Because I think you can find there's lots of things that'll get more clicks, but they're not what you should be preaching on Sunday. So I just want to say that as a precursor. But I will say that one of the secret sauces that we've seen at our church, and I see this with a lot of churches too, is your titles of your sermon on Sunday should not be the same titles that you're using on YouTube or on other social media platforms. Because what works on YouTube doesn't work in person, and what works in person almost certainly doesn't work on YouTube. So what you can do is have it take a look at your sermon titles, and it'll tell you the kind of things that are getting the most clicks, and even more important, what's getting the most watch time. And then it can make recommendations for you on how to title future sermons, but then also just how can you go back and retitle past sermons that'll make them more watchable on YouTube and get you more traffic, and therefore have more people engage with your content, and in ideally more people responding to the gospel because of it. So love this one. I use this all the time. I think this is something really cool. So I'm in at least once a week, I'm analyzing YouTube data in ChatGPT or Claude and having it give us real world feedback on things we can do to improve and better descriptions and new video ideas. So love using it for analyzing. Well, that's one of the common things you'll see in this episode is we're talking about a lot of stuff where you don't just prompt, but you include some kind of data for it to analyze, whether it be a sermon outline or your budget information, some of that kind of stuff. So that's kind of next level AI using, is giving it stuff to analyze.
Yeah. And again, my favorites are just how these, I mean, this is all helpful just for different areas of ministry, but anything that will lead more people to the Lord in the local church, if AI can help with that, that's awesome. So the next one here would be church language translator. So here's an example. Rewrite this small group announcement so that someone who's never, again, talking about people that are not believers or never been to church, can understand it and feel welcomed. Avoid insider language like fellowship, discipleship, and make it feel natural and inviting to someone exploring faith. So this is like a prompt that can help you avoid Christianese, right, Thomas?
I think it works. You know, again, it's not, there is a place for using words like fellowship and discipleship. So we're not against that, but if it's a flyer, for instance, in this case, to help people get connected to a small group in your church, and maybe they're newer there and they don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, you want to use language that's more approachable and less Christianese in some cases. So, you know, it's again, don't just take it and copy and paste, but I think it's a good starting point to at least get feedback on what maybe you can tweak and give you a new set of ideas on this kind of stuff here. So we use it to process that kind of language, just language on our website in general, using it for even our our new members class. We kind of run it through there, and our whole document where we have people kind of going through our core values and the things we are as a church, and having it give us feedback on our history statement and that kind of stuff. And so anything you're writing as a church, that's especially if it's targeting new believers, a prompt like this will be really helpful.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So last but not least here is the annual report generator. So here are our major milestones, attendance numbers, giving stats, and testimonies from this year. Turn this into a compelling 3-minute script. I like that. Our pastor can read during our Vision Sunday. Make it heartfelt, encouraging, and focused on celebrating what God has done.
Yeah. So often, I know as an executive pastor at my church, I run and kind of prepare these documents for our annual meetings and that kind of stuff. And we had a history of our annual meetings being very poorly attended because I found there's a certain kind of person that really cares. And then, and I'm kind of one of those kinds of people. Yeah. I'm a data person and that stuff.
Yes.
And then the vast majority of people care very little about that kind of stuff. And they're going to you almost as a favor because you asked them to come to your annual meeting. And so, but I think if we focus on the wins and, using a tool like this to unpack wins, and again, it's a data analysis tool where it can help you spot wins or trends or benchmarks that maybe you didn't even see. It can do this analysis. What might take you hours of kind of looking at line by line and data points, it can do this in seconds. And I think it's one of the best ways to use AI tools. So the scripting part, I don't really know. I think that it still should be something that an annual meeting, again, this is just my passion area. So, but I think I would still, I wouldn't be comfortable reading a script generated by ChatGPT, but I think it'd be good as an outline or get me an idea on the kinds of things I would want to say. But I think from there, I would want to, bring it before the Lord and pray about it and really think about what I want to say to our entire church. But I like it as a starting point.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. This stuff's even interesting to me as I've learned more about it and everything. I think so many people are still learning it. And this is getting past, like you said, some of those just fundamental AI kind of universal understanding, type things now. So yeah, hopefully helpful to a lot of folks.
One of our projects we're working on here at ReachRight is coming up with a prompt library for pastors. So we're going to be working on some more detailed versions of these ones we talked about today and dozens of other ones that we see real world pastors using. So if you have a prompt that you're using regularly or it's been really helpful to you, I would love it if you would share that down in the comments below, kind of let us know and kind of share the wealth on that so we can all be working together on this AI transition we're going through. So share those with us. Thanks for being a part of the ReachRight family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.